it was part of an overall, I guess, movement in the U.S. to try to reduce plastic use. Plastic straws in particular are an item that is superfluous to most necessary eating and drinking. And it's an item that when it's used in coastal areas, ocean areas, it's easily ingested by animals. Sea turtles get them stuck in their noses. Fish get them stuck in their gills, stuck in various places. It's one of the most frequent items found when people pick up plastic and do beach cleanups. It's one of the most frequent items found out on the beach, in the water. And for all those reasons, it just seems like a good place to start to reduce plastics. And once people get focusing on something as simple to eliminate as a straw, then maybe they can see beyond using the cup, maybe the plastic bag, other plastic things. They realize there's better ways to use reusables that will lighten the plastic debris load in the ocean.
What can you say about the law and bans on plastic straws? Is there precedent? Has something like this ever been overturned? I think Fort Myers Beach has passed a ban on single-use plastic straws.
Right. There, this has actually been done in a lot of places in the U.S. It started, a nine-year-old, I think his name was Milo Kress up in Vermont, had the idea originally and got the city of Burlington, Vermont to ban plastic straws. It caught on from there, and it's really roared around the country. Many cities and have enacted such bans. Fort Myers did one. St. Petersburg is looking at one, and of course now Gulfport will be hopefully looking at one. I know my son in Utah is trying to encourage places out there to voluntarily stop using straws. And there's a big voluntary movement to not use plastic straws, even the absence of ordinances or bans on them.
Is there any kind of constitutional issue or anything like that that would prevent these bans from taking place?
Well, yes. I mean, Florida, of course, has a ban on banning plastic bags currently. And Coral Gables is the only city that currently can legally ban plastic bags, although several cities are looking into the possibility of passing ordinances despite that, believing that such bans might violate home rule and other constitutional concerns. So there are reasons that it might hit some snags, but there is not, as far as I know, there's nothing that prevents a city right now from banning plastic straws, unless they could be construed as some type of a container bag. But, you know, I don't think that's likely.
And finally, I want to ask about the human health effects. We've already talked about how plastics, you know, make the environment ugly, I guess, and can harm wildlife. But what about the health effects on humans and plastics in the environment?
I guess there's a lot of research on it. There's nothing definitive, but there's certainly the suggestion that the plastic breaks down into smaller and smaller pieces, and it can mimic certain hormones in your body. It's been correlated with increased rates of autism, autoimmune disorder, other endocrine type disorders. I'm not a scientist in any sense of the word. I do keep up on some of the literature, but there's a definite concern that the cumulative impacts of having fish and land animals consuming products that contain ever higher rates of petroleum-based plastics in them can really pose a threat to human health as well as animal health. We're getting unprecedented concentration of plastics in our body. That whole little plastic bead thing that they were putting in, little scrubbing beads in shampoos and lotions, proved to be actually quite toxic and have the potential for some serious toxicity. And so those went away fairly quickly, but other types of plastics break down to those small microscopic sizes that actually can permeate our cells and various parts of our bodies to cause some serious harm. And again, you know, I don't think there's any definitive science, but it's certainly something that's a concern, I think, to most environmental scientists and most health professionals as well. The environmental advocacy class, how it works and why Jen, I think, jumped on this was that the class allows students to do a project on their own, of their own making. And basically, I urge students to choose something they're passionate about, and I urge them to do a small project, something that could ideally be even completed in a semester. I thought Jen did a particularly good job in choosing this one, because even if she were to get an agreement to voluntarily not use straws down in Gulfport, even on the waterfront area, that would be a huge step in the right direction. And it's certainly something that can be accomplished in a fairly short period of time, but a lot of the students have just done amazing projects, where some of them have introduced recycling into their own little condominium project, and then other condominium projects have heard about it. And from one student's project last year, probably several thousand condominium units now have on-site recycling, whereas they didn't before, because she was willing to go to these HOAs and suggested them how they could incorporate on-site recycling into their regular waste management. And there's been other projects that are really thoughtful, but and are small and local based. Some have more of an international and global flavor. But so it's really been something that's enabled students to realize they can use not only their in-court and their quasi-judicial advocacy skills, but they can actually use media, legislative and regulatory advocacy with local boards, county boards, to actually accomplish some meaningful things. And every little small bit, you know, I think is an important step to make. It raises awareness of the problems. Even if just a small thing like banning, not using a plastic straw, it helps people to understand that there's a lot of other things that we should probably do, and that they can actually maybe go without some of these products.